Today we continue our series titled Resolutions. A full 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions every single year. Unfortunately, only 80% of those people will give up their New Year's resolutions by the second week of February. No wonder only about 8% actually accomplish their New Year's resolutions in a given year. And so we have been working on a process to try to keep you going forward with your resolutions. As Ray talked about earlier, making resolutions is easy, but keeping them is hard. And he reminded us that we needed to make a resolution to walk with God daily this year, to make time with Him. And you may be here and you say, you know what, I'm even asking for help for God to enable me and encourage me in the way that I need to do that with Him. But maybe you're struggling with another issue. Maybe you're here and you've been walking with the Lord a long time, or maybe you've been struggling, or maybe there was something in the past that you remember. There's a point at which you started to struggle even more, and that was because of unanswered prayer. Just this past week, I actually got a call from somebody who was struggling because they were bored and they were struggling because of unanswered prayer in their own prayer life. They've been praying for a friend who's got health issues. They were praying about all the little different details in it. They wanted to get the friend get better and better, and yet it's taking such a long time, and so they were getting discouraged. They weren't sure what to do, but they knew that this was an opportunity to be hindered in their walk with the Lord as a result of unanswered prayer. So let me ask you, have you ever encountered the temptation to stop walking with God regularly because of some unanswered prayer in your life? Because of some struggle that you're going through that isn't moving forward the way that you want it to go forward or as fast as you'd like it to go forward? Maybe it was something that happened a while ago. Maybe you have been praying and opening up your soul to the Lord. You've been telling Him about all the temptations, all the things that you're struggling with that you know you want to do right about. And you feel like, you know what, He's not helping. And so you're getting tired of asking, and you're thinking about quitting your walk. Maybe there's other difficulties. Maybe there's some other sorrows and things that you've been praying for that just doesn't seem like God's answer. Maybe you've been praying about all your hopes and dreams, and maybe you feel like nothing's been moving. Many people experience unanswered prayer. And when that happens, we're tempted to quit. We're tempted to quit in our walk with the Lord. We expect God to hear us when we talk to Him, and we expect Him to answer. And when He doesn't, it's a huge letdown, isn't it? Many people have simply stopped walking because they asked the Lord for something and it just didn't happen. Many people end up giving God the cold shoulder, and they might not say it out loud, but they want to make God pay for not answering their prayers. Maybe that'll make God change His mind. I remember this happening a lot with my two-year-old, my daughter, Skylar. She's not two anymore, but I remember distinctly when she was 2 years old, when she would make her request known about something, and we would obviously hear it, and we would even say, "You want such and such," so she knew we heard it, and she said, "Yeah," and we would oftentimes have to say, "No, no, you can't play with the water in the sink. No. You can't play in the middle of the road. No, you can't have fun. There's no fun allowed. There's no laughing. You can't laugh anymore." And she hated it. She hated it when we would tell her no. More than the other kids, she would give us the stink eye, right? You know, she would yell at me, "No, Daddy!" And she'd give us the silent treatment. I'd try to ask her about her day, and she'd avoid me when I tried to give attention to her. No one taught her as a two-year-old how to respond to no. She intuitively knew how to act when she was upset and when she was blocked and something that she wanted to see happen. And if it wasn't so risky, I too could fall into the same kind of behavior and do the same kind of things that my two-year-old did. When I experience unanswered prayer. It would be really easy for me to lose my resolve to walk with God daily. Well, the good news is, Jesus must have known that this was going to be a problem for us, because Jesus actually addressed this very issue with his disciples. People knew were actually going to experience unanswered prayer, and he wanted to make sure that they kept following him in spite of unanswered prayer. He wanted to make sure his disciples kept walking with him and started and continued to spend time with God daily. And he didn't want his followers to lose heart. And so he taught them about this very issue. So I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. The book of Luke is the one that Steve was up here just sharing from. But the Book of Luke in chapter 18. We'll start at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus told them a parable to show them they should always pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. There was also a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while, the judge refused. But later on, he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor have regard for people, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will give her justice, or in the end, she will wear me out by her unending pleas." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unrighteous judge says. Won't God give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long to help them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Now, in the context of this passage, Jesus has actually been speaking to them quite a bit about not losing heart. And especially when the time came for people to ask for vindication from God. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus told his disciples that it was necessary that he, the Son of Man, had to suffer many things and then be rejected by that generation. And if the Lord experienced persecution, so also his followers were going to experience persecution. And because they were going to be persecuted, the natural inclination of their hearts were going to be, at the point of being persecuted, that they were going to be asking the Lord for vindication while they're being unjustly persecuted. Okay? And yet, Jesus is saying you're going to have to wait for that vindication. And so he exhorts them to always pray and not lose heart. And he compares such prayer to the persistence of a widow nagging an unjust judge. Initially, the judge declines her case. In verse 4, Jesus said, "For a while he refused." Sometimes the answer to our prayers is clearly no. Request denied. Why? Why would God ever say no? Request denied. When we ask for something. Well, there's a number of answers in Scripture, and I have this handy handout for us to get through it quickly. Getty, could you help me out here? Get one more person. Ray, there we go. I know we can sign you up for something more. Sometimes the answer is clearly no, request denied. Why does God give us a no answer? Well, there's a number of reasons in the Scriptures. Number one, the first reason is clearly that we just haven't asked. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Sometimes we get a no request denied because our prayers haven't even met God's expectations. What are those conditions? What are those expectations that he has? And when we ask things of him, well, number one, it's got to be a prayer of faith. James 1 talks about how if anyone is deficient in wisdom, he should ask God. But you have to ask in faith without doubting, for the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord if he is doubting. Okay, so many times you get a no response because you're not even asking in faith. Another condition is that sometimes we're asking for something that is not in accordance with God's will. 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have before Him, that whenever we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, what if you're asking for things that are not in accordance with God's will? He's going to tell us no, request denied. Okay? Sometimes we're making selfish requests. We're asking for things only solely for ourselves. James says this, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, so you can spend it on your passions. That's one of the other reasons why we get a no, request denied. Oftentimes, we are in sin, and God tells us no because we're in sin. Psalm 66 says this, the psalmist says this, I cried out for help and praised Him with my tongue, but he says, if I harbored sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Sometimes we get a no, request denied, because we are in sin. Sometimes we get a no, request denied, because we're in a strained relationship. Peter writes this, husbands, in the same way, treat your wives with consideration as the weaker partners and show them honor as fellow heirs of the grace of life. In this way, nothing will hinder your prayers. Meaning, if you're not getting along with your wife and you're not showing honor due to her, that could be hindering your prayer life. That could be the reason why you're getting no, request denied. Oftentimes we get a no, request denied because of the sin of other people. Moses and Paul both ask, Lord, let me suffer the punishment on behalf of the nation of Israel in their place. And God said, no, it's because of their sin that they are going to receive what they receive. Sometimes the request denied is better for us. It's actually better that God tells us no. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about this issue that he's had, this thorn in the flesh, this messenger from Satan. He says, I asked the Lord 3 times about this, that it would depart from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Somehow it was better for Paul to get a no from God. Sometimes request denied is better for God's glory, for His own purposes. In 1 Chronicles 17, David is asking that the Lord to bless him so that he might be able to build a temple that God would indwell there in Jerusalem. And the prophet Nathan had to go tell David, no, you're not the one to do this for me. For his own reasons. God didn't want David to do it. But your son, he will be the one. Okay? Sometimes we get requests denied because it's better for God's purposes. Now, the wonderful thing about prayer is that the worst possible answer that we could receive when we ask God for things is no, request denied. You and I were never going to like hearing no. There are going to be times when you just know this is exactly what God wants when He says no to a certain prayer request. And you might even realize, you know what, it's even better that I don't get that. But you still won't like it. So how should we respond when we hear request denied? No. When you're given a request denied, I want to encourage you to go to God about it. He tells you no, and you're upset. Go to God about it. He can handle your frustrations to His answer to your prayers. He's big enough. He can handle you being upset, okay? Now, don't go and curse God and die like Job's wife tells Job. Like, that's not what we're talking about, but you can just go to God. Look, Lord, I really wanted this to happen, and you're telling me no. I'm frustrated with that answer. And you can tell Him about it. He's big enough. And if you think about it, every relationship that you have in life that is an authentically good, deep relationship are going to go through times of difficulty and times where that relationship is tested. All relationships are going to go and get to a spot where one side has expectations and the other side expectations, and those expectations they don't match up, and they just come to loggerheads about things. It happens in marriages, it happens with parents and children. That's just part of life. Those are part of really good, authentic relationships. And finding out where our expectations are and God's expectations and where they meet and where they differ is just part of the relationship that we have with God as we walk with Him. It doesn't mean that the relationship should just end and stop because we got a no. Just like it shouldn't end when you get a no in your relationship with your wife or your husband or your children, okay? Or with your parents. You got to keep going on with the relationship, even though there's a clear ending to that discussion or whatever the decision was. You need to keep that relationship going. And that's exactly what you need to do when you get a no request denied from God. You need to say, you know what? This is part of all healthy relationships. I'm frustrated with you about it, God, and you need to keep walking with Him. It's a sign of health that you can actually navigate your friendships and relationships in life, including your relationship with God, and you get a no at times. If it's part of any other relationship, we should expect that there's going to be times we're going to get a no response from the Lord. I remember a lady in Kingman who felt like she had always had her prayers answered until this past couple of years. Her son had cancer and he died. And she had been praying for his healing. Finally got like the first big no in her life from God. And she was in her 80s and she was struggling with it. But she kept going to God about it. She kept walking with the Lord about it. And she's still faithful to the Lord, even though she got a no, request denied. Thankfully, my daughter has continued her relationship with me, despite my having told no to her. I've been told no multiple times by God. And I'm so glad, because there were a lot of ladies I was praying for to be my wife one day, and God didn't answer any of those prayers for those people. He knew what was best, right? I've been frustrated with God over other unanswered prayers, and I've just let Him know, look, I'm upset about stuff. I don't like this answer. What else can we do? What else could we do if we got a no from God? Sometimes we ought to think about just knowing, again, like this is an authentic part of being in a relationship with you, God, and I just need to keep going. And knowing that God loves us enough to tell us no is okay. It's okay. I love God and He loves me, and it's better to just go to Him about those times that I get a no. I got a little exercise for you to do this afternoon, a little thought experiment to do on your own and to evaluate your relationship with God. What I want you to do is take a piece of paper this afternoon, and I want you to write down all the things in life that you love. Your health. I love my health. You love your spouse. Write down your spouse's name. Your children, your grandchildren, your best friend, your possessions, your finances, your safety. Whatever you love, I want you to write them all down. And I just want you to imagine God to asking Him, Lord, preserve this person, preserve this thing, preserve this thing. And then just imagine for a second Him saying no to one of those items. And if you go through that exercise and you arrive at an answer like Simon Peter, Lord, to whom else should we go? You've got the words of eternal life. If you go through that exercise and you recognize I still have to cling to God, even if He says no on this, if you go through that, or if you've gone through that in real life, and you don't dismiss the fact that eternity still exists, and if you don't dismiss God's existence, you're wise. You're wise. You're in a healthy spot in your relationship with God. Okay? If you realize, like Asaph, who wrote, I desire no one but you, even if I don't have this anymore, but I get you, God, that's a good spot to be in. If you'd rather have God, if you'd rather have the Lord than your spouse or your son or your daughter or your grandchildren or your possessions or your own health, then you'll be able to handle it when God tells you no, request denied. And if you really want God, if you really want Him, you'll get Him. Even if you get told no by Him, you can still have that relationship with God. Right? That's the gospel. When you trust that Jesus died on the cross for your sins in your place, you get a relationship with the living God of the universe who created everything. You didn't have that relationship before you trusted in Jesus. But once you trust that He died on the cross, you got a brand new relationship that you just didn't have before. And if that relationship means more to you than your possessions or your loved ones, then you still have that, even though God might not heal that person or the person might be removed from your life. God might take those things away from you. But if you really believe God is enough, if you really believe God is all you need, then you'll be able to handle any no that God gives you. If you arrive at a place where you can still say, you know what, I love you, and He loves me, and it's better to go to Him about your frustrations, then you'll keep going. You won't lose heart in your walk with the Lord. Jack was 9 years old when his mother was diagnosed with cancer. From church, he had been taught that prayer offered in faith would be automatically granted. And so Jack prayed for his mom's recovery. He truly believed that God could and would heal her. But God answered no to her physical healing. Jack's mom died 3 months before his 10th birthday as a 9-year-old boy. Everything that was settled, everything that was tranquil, everything that was happy in his life, all disappeared. And that's precisely how a boy named Jack became an atheist. Don't respond like Jack to the Lord's request denied. That's not walking with God daily. Don't go through life suffering from request denied denial. You got to get to a point where you learn to be okay with an answer that says no. And when you come to God in prayer, you got to be able to give God the ability to say no in the relationship with you. He really wants and He does want our best, and He knows what's best. And if you can't give God the ability to say no, then you need to actually come to grips with what you're actually doing. If you can't give Him that ability to say no in your life, you need to really understand that what you're doing is exactly what Satan does. That's behaving like Satan. You're telling God, you know what, I'm over you in the relationship. I want this to happen, and it's got to happen. Do it. I don't want to know. And you know what? That's exactly what Satan does. You need to let God be who He is. He's God. You're not over Him in the relationship. It's a privilege that He is sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins to create the relationship with Him. Later on, that little boy named Jack became known by his real name, C.S. Lewis. Eventually, C.S. Lewis became a Christian and abandoned his atheism. But the Lord tested him again. Late in life, Jack married Helen, the love of his life, and shortly after they got married, she got cancer. Again, he prayed for her, just like he had prayed for his mother and her cancer. And again, God said no. Request denied. 3 years after they married, she died of cancer, just like his mom. As a 9-year-old boy, he became an atheist when God said no. Request denied. How in the world was he going to respond when his beloved wife died? And God said no, request denied. C.S. Lewis eventually published his response to her death in a little book titled A Grief Observed. And it's there that we actually see the candor of the emotions of a Christian who is going strong for the Lord, even though his prayer went unanswered. Lewis went to God. And he went to God with all of his grief and all the frustrations. And he concludes that he was thankful that he got and received and experienced the gift of true love in that time that he had with his wife. And he was thankful to the Lord about it. And his relationship with God remained, even though it was tested, just like it was when he was a little boy. And that's how you and I should respond when we are tempted to quit, when we want to quit walking with God because we get a request denied. So, that's the first response that God could give to our prayers. The second response is this. Sometimes the answer is wait. Request delayed. wait, request delayed. In the parable that Jesus tells his disciples, he says, for a while, the unjust judge refused. But later on, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor have regard for people, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will give her justice. Or in the end, she will wear me out by her unending pleas. All right, this widow had to wait for her case to be decided. And so it is with us. Sometimes the answer is not no, request denied. Sometimes the answer is wait, request delayed. And this is exactly what we see elsewhere in scriptures on your handout. Sometimes the answer is wait because God wishes to oppose the proud so that their fall may be greater. If you know the story of Esther, there's a man made by the name of Haman in there, and they, you know, the Israelites are being persecuted by this evil man, and they're wanting justice, but the God's saying, wait. And what happens is this gallows keeps getting taller and taller and taller, and this evil man's fall was even greater because of the waiting process. It's kind of a strange story, but you can read the book of Esther and learn about that. Sometimes God is waiting on us to dedicate the answer of our prayers to him. For example, Hannah was childless for a long time, and then she dedicates the child that she trusts the Lord to finally give her one day. He says, I'm gonna give this to you, Lord. And so she does, and the Lord answers her prayer because she's dedicated the answer to him. Sometimes we get a wait, request delayed, because it actually takes time for the desired answer. Elijah starts praying for rain, and he keeps praying, and he has his attendant, go look, do you see anything? No, go look, and he prays, and he's praying, and he goes, looks, and again, there's a small cloud. And he keeps praying, and he says, go look, okay, we got a storm cloud coming finally. It's not just, it hadn't rained in Israel for a long time. Sometimes we get a wait, request delay, just because it takes time for the answer to happen. Sometimes God is actually waiting on our faith to grow so that we are asking him without any doubt. Sometimes there's spiritual opposition to our answered prayers. Daniel prays, God hears him and answers immediately. And it takes another 21 days before that answer finally reaches Daniel because of spiritual warfare. Sometimes God is waiting on us to be in the position in which he can bless us. Sometimes we got to get obedient before he'll bless us. Listen to this in Isaiah. The Lord God is waiting to show how kind he is and to have pity on you. The Lord always does right. He blesses those who trust him. And the reason why he was waiting to show kindness to Israel was because they needed to get obedient. It was an answer, wait, request delayed, get obedient. Okay, here you go. Sometimes we get a wait, request delayed because God's timing is actually just different than ours. And I think that's what's happening here in Luke 18. That's what's happening because here's Jesus, and he's talking about in this parable of this unjust judge. And this guy, the Lord concludes, listen to what this unrighteous judge says. Won't God give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long to help them? I tell you, he will give them justice speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus expects that his followers are going to be persecuted, like I talked about earlier. According to Open Doors, an organization that monitors Christian persecution across the globe, 13 Christians are killed for their faith every single day. This was a report they just put out this week. And Jesus expects that his followers, as they're being persecuted throughout church history, are going to be asking for vindication. They're going to be asking for justice, Lord, to come, Lord Jesus. Make things right. They're going to kill me. And he assures them in this parable that vindication will come. But it's not on their timing. It's on God's timing. And there's three major points that Jesus makes here quickly in this passage. If a dishonest judge responds to a persistent widow, how much more will God respond to those who follow Jesus? If a widow's constant nagging causes a response in the unrighteous judge, how much more will the disciples' request be honored by a righteous God? And then he makes the final point. God is not going to let things go unresolved. When God's justice comes, it's going to come quickly. It's going to come speedily. But when will it come? Apparently, there's going to be a long delay. Wait, request delayed. It's going to be a long enough delay that if you're praying because you're being persecuted, it's going to be a question as to whether or not you're going to continue and you're going to persist in your walk with God. Are you actually going to wait and trust faithfully for God's vindication or not? And so Jesus asks at the end of this parable, right? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes is when he's going to vindicate all of his followers, all the people who walked with him all the days of their life, even though they were persecuted and the world thought they were wrong. When he comes, he's going to vindicate them. That's when it's going to happen. It's going to be in the future. But when he comes, will he find people still walking with him despite having received the answer? No. Not yet. Wait. Request delayed. Is he going to find faith when he comes back? There are going to be some who will not be able to handle it. Wait. Request delayed. You say, the delay is actually God's delay in answering our prayer for vindication as believers is actually a way that God tests the veracity of his followers' faith. He wants to see if that relationship with him is the first and only thing they want. Do they love him with all of their might, with all of their heart, with all of their mind, and all their strength? And if you and I go through life and we stop praying for the things that we know we should be praying for, what does that say? It says, I'm upset at you, God. This thing over here is more important to me than you. It says, I don't want to walk with you. On the other hand, if we keep praying, it demonstrates our faithfulness to Christ. If we keep on keeping on in our daily walk, despite getting a no, request denied, or a wait, request delayed response, it'll demonstrate that we haven't lost heart. When he comes back, he'll see us with faith. What does your prayer life say about your heart? Have you stopped praying for things that you should still be praying for? Look, our heart is the seat of all of our deepest feelings and beliefs and choices and convictions. And when you start to analyze it, you start to notice there's all kinds of affections and desires and motives there. And what you're actually praying for tells God what's on your heart. And if you're here and you're still walking with God despite getting a no request denied or wait request delayed, God is going to see your heart. He's going to say, you love me despite these answers to your prayer, ones that you don't like. Maybe you don't like the timing and maybe you don't like the final answer. But he sees your heart. He's going to be glad because he knows you, because you're still talking to him and you haven't given him the cold shoulder. He knows that you're number one in his heart. But if you stop praying, you stop reading your Bible, you stop walking with God daily, then he's going to see what's really going on in your heart. He's going to see he's not number one. He's going to see the deepest feelings and convictions about your relationship with him, whether you value him or value other things other than him. So how is your prayer life? Have you stopped praying? If you're here and you're the kind of person who has experienced some tragedy or some hardship or some difficulty, and you feel like, you know what, that set me back, are you still praying? Keep praying. I encourage you to do what Jesus asked, to not lose heart and keep praying. Because if you're not, you're not walking with God. You've fallen for the temptation to quit because of some unanswered prayer. I beg of you to consider and reconsider starting your prayer life back up if you've stopped praying to the Lord. Don't let Jesus come back and find you giving him the silent treatment. Because just give you the silent treatment forever. But if you're the kind of person who has continued to pray and pray and pray, even in the face of unanswered prayer, then God sees your heart. Be encouraged. He loves you, and He knows that's what's going on in you. He sees you loving Him regardless of any of the circumstances in your life. He sees that nothing in this world satisfies your soul like Him. He sees your faith. He sees you, and He still sees that you believe that He's a good and righteous judge. And He sees that you still believe He's worth praying for things to, and that even though it hasn't happened in your lifetime, He'll know that you're looking forward to all of these answers to prayer happening all at once. Because when God finally answers our prayers, they come quickly. They come swiftly. You know who prayed about everything and got an answer, no request denied? Jesus. In the garden, Jesus asked three times that if there was any way that this cup of suffering that I was going to have to go through the next day, if there's any way that He could get out of it, if there's any way that it could be passed from Him. But He got no. There's no other way. Request denied. You know who prayed about everything and received wait, request delayed? Jesus. He prayed and prayed and prayed for the Jews to repent and anoint Him as their king and follow Him and completely in all areas of their lives. And it would usher in the kingdom, and He prayed that they would repent. But instead He got wait. Request delayed. I don't know about you, but it encourages me that Jesus has gotten the same kind of answers that we get. When we've gotten no's, He knows what it's like. When we've gotten the answer, wait, He knows what it's like. And I want to encourage you with the fact that you have a high priest who knows these kind of answers Himself. And you can continue to walk with Him because He knows what it's like. You can persist in your relationship with the Father and with the Spirit, just like Jesus continued to go to the Father and to the Spirit, even though He got those responses in His life. You know, I can look back in my life and I can see times where I've persisted for years in, you know, about things that were on my heart. A lot of times He did not answer quickly. As a teenager, I had my best friend that I knew all through elementary and middle school. He was not a believer, and I kept praying and 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 praying, and he didn't get saved. And then he moved away. He moved to Buffalo, New York, and kept praying for him. Kept praying, 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 Lord, draw my friend to Christ. Lord, get him the gospel so that he might believe. Help him trust in You, Lord Jesus, for Your death, the death that You died on the cross for him. Over a decade went by. And finally, I get a letter out of the blue from him. He's in prison. I wrote him the gospel back. I got another letter from him. The guy was saved. The guy got saved. He kept praying. The Lord answered, not on my timeline, but on his. I prayed for over a decade for a wife before I met my wife. I received a lot of no's before that. I prayed for more than a dozen years for my brother's struggle with drugs before he finally got clean. I prayed for over 5 years for a full-time ministry position before the Lord took me to Kansas. I got a lot of heartbreaking no, request denied. I got a lot of wait, request delayed. But I kept on praying, kept on trusting the Lord, kept on talking to Him, kept going to Him about my frustrations. There's a lot of things I have prayed for that I've gotten no's about multiple times. And I hope that if I go a lifetime getting no's on those things, I hope that if I had gotten gone a lifetime without getting a full-time ministry position or a wife or seeing my brother continue to be stuck in drugs or never having seen my friend saved, I hope that I would have kept praying and kept going all my life in that direction. I hope I would have done my best to continue to go forward walking with the Lord. And most of all, I would have known that God is actually so worth my continuing to walk with Him. And I hope that you understand these words that Jesus said at the end of this passage. It says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Will He find me still praying for things? Will He still find you praying for things? Don't lose heart. Keep walking with God. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that He understands exactly what was going to come for the followers of His, that they were going to be mistreated, they were going to be persecuted, and they were going to pray. They were going to ask for your help, and that salvation was not going to come on their timing. And I thank you, Lord, that you told us before that happens that we need to keep walking with you and keep on praying and not lose heart. And I pray that if there's anybody here today who has lost heart from something that they know that you gave them a no response in the past or a wait response in the past, and they've stopped walking with you, or they were tempted to recently, Lord, even, I pray that they would recognize they can just go to you about those frustrations, and that it's better to keep that relationship going with you, to have you. It's better than to have anything else, Lord, in this world. And so I pray, Father, for faith. I pray that when you come, you would find us still believing and trusting and praying and walking with you actively and not getting stuck on some unanswered prayers. Lord, we can labor hard in prayer for our loved ones and people that we care for and for our own circumstances to change. And sometimes we just need the perseverance and understanding from you to keep on praying. And I pray that we would. Help us, Lord, to not be tempted to quit. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.